Welcome to the Dildork, Storky Discourse on Sex, Dating, and Masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I prefer edging as a top. Not all that into it as a bottom, but really kind of depends on the vibe. Who are you, friend?
I'm Billy. I am a sex educator and porn maker, and I have a long, 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 long history with edging and denial.
I'm excited to get into it.
It is almost certainly one of my longest running kinks, and I don't know that I recognized it as that at the time. Like, I've always found it hot, but I've also just, like, looking back, I can see the ways in which I eroticized the denial that happened out of, like, desire mismatches in relationships and things like that, or denial that just happened out of circumstance. Like, I've been in a lot of long-distance relationships and that sort of thing. And any time I was experiencing, like, any sort of celibacy, I guess, for lack of a better word, there was always something hot to me about tracking how long it had been and the ways that I felt and, like... being in that state of wanting a thing that I haven't had in a really long time.
Interesting. I just get grumpy if I'm away from my partner for too long.
I mean, yeah, that's reasonable. That's fair. So you actually answered my first question off the jump, but I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of your relationship to denial and edging. You say you prefer it as a top. Can you talk a little bit about why that is and maybe expand a little bit more on why you don't love it as a bottom?
Sure, yeah. I think orgasm control in general is hard for me as a bottom because I just don't seem to have as much control over when I come now as I used to. Or rather, like, I don't know what happened, but there was a shift in the physiology of my orgasm within the last three-ish years where, like, earlier in the session, I would start to have a feeling that was like, oh, I think I'm going to come soon. And then I would almost always be wrong about that. Like, it would always take longer than I thought it was going to, but I would get that feeling. And so I would ask for permission then. But then it would just, like, go on for longer. And so I think that it just sort of gives me anxiety as a bottom sometimes, the thought of, like, either coming without permission from getting too close or like having the permission, but like taking way too long to use it. And so, you know, it's really strange, like being a sex toy reviewer, you'd think I would have a better knowledge than almost anyone of like when my orgasm is going to happen and like where I am in my arousal process. But I've actually like gotten less connected to it as I've grown up. And maybe I just needed to sort of like get used to how my orgasms are different now.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I'm curious, before you start talking about topping, when in the times that you have played with this, did you know what the consequence was going to be or, like, what would happen if you either came without permission or, like, asked to come and then didn't? Like, I know obviously you tend to want to be a good girl, but, like, had you discussed what punishment or funishment was coming from that?
It's an interesting question because I actually, in a relationship that has lasted at this point more than 5 years, I only one time have come without permission. And it was a time very early on when, like, I just wasn't used to asking permission yet. Like, we just hadn't been doing it long enough. And so I just didn't really think about it until immediately after. And then I felt bad. And I don't even recall if there was a punishment for that. But, like, we don't really do punishments in my relationship. Sometimes there will be some kind of penance that is more for me to feel better about the mistake that I made, like an impact play scene or something. But yeah, usually there's not a punishment. And in terms of punishing me for not coming immediately after I'm given the permission, like, I think my partner has a very good understanding of like how this works for me. And so basically the way we do it is like, once I've gotten the permission, I can come anytime after that and it's fine. And sometimes I do feel bad about taking a long time. And I will ask for some reassurance and they will give it to me and that's great.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because I was thinking as you were talking, I also typically want to be good and have done the right thing and whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's not a thing that comes up a lot for me in this type of play. Like, I'm not afraid of fucking up, essentially. Mm-hmm. And, like, coming without permission or whatever. And I think that's because it is an instance in which the struggling is what's hot, the trying and franticness of the energy in the moment of like trying to figure out if I should stop and like if it's too close or not, and like fighting with yourself because like you want to but like you don't, and like mm-hmm. that inner struggle and the like, I don't know, experience of realizing you fucked up as you're coming and realizing, oh shit, I pushed it too far. Oh no. Like, that's also hot and part of the game for me. Hmm. Like, so whether it is, I don't top for it. Top for it more often than I think other things, frankly. And I do find that hot as a top, but like, it is particularly my kink as a bottom. And like, yeah, the experience of, like, fucking up in that instance doesn't worry me because I look at it as a, for most of the people I play with, I think they will feel similar to me and they will also find it hot to, like, watch me disappointedly fail at trying to control a thing. Because they're setting up a situation for it to be really, really challenging. And if it's really, really challenging, sometimes I'm going to fail. And like, I also haven't ever discussed what like punishments would look like, but I've always imagined, given the tones of the scenes, it will either be some form of like humiliation and mocking around the fact that like, oh no, what a desperate little slut who couldn't do the thing that I said, right? Yeah. Too needy to even stop or whatever. It's fine. I can say these things on the radio. Not quoting my texts at all. But also,
I like that you just called our podcast the radio.
You know, listen. Fine. But yeah, so for me, the fact that like they would find it hot and just it's a new way to it's probably not the end of a scene. Like there is more opportunities for orgasms, and they have just become challenging in a new and different way. And it's probably a ruined orgasm at that point. So like all of that is like feels like part of the game rather than in like a service instance where if I fail to complete a task for someone, that feels like I didn't complete the thing we set up. Whereas failing in this is just like, oh, that's just a different path the game can take. I'm still playing the game. Yeah. I just lost a point or something, you know?
Right. That makes sense. And when you say ruined orgasms, like I do think a huge part of why I don't enjoy this as much as a bottom is that I really hate having ruined orgasms. Like I know you're supposed to hate it, but I hate it in a totally not fun and hot way for me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like actively painful for me. Again, not in a fun or hot way. And this might be due to being a sex toy reviewer because, as you know, like there are so many toys that are truly so bad or so inconsistent that you will ruin your own orgasms as part of the testing process. And so maybe in my mind, that's sort of linked to work, particularly disappointing days at work. But in terms of topping, I think that the main influence in my life that like really got me into topping for this kink was Velvet Veronica, who is this great porn performer who I love. I've seen and bought like most of her clips that she has on her website, or rather my spouse has bought them for us. And like, she's great.
I don't pay for things. That's why we'll get into that.
It's cute. We watch them together. Mm-hmm. And she is really, really into edging her partner. It's like kind of her main fetish seemingly, and sometimes she will edge him and like not let him come. She'll like edge him for like 20 or 30 minutes and like not let him come, and like maybe even like lock him up in a chastity cage after that. And often she will do games of different kinds where, like, he has to endure a certain amount of edges before he earns something or whatever.
Love that.
And, yeah, she's very, very creative. Sometimes she'll edge him with, like, weird toys that she doesn't think are going to stimulate him enough. Like, one time she held a magic wand against a penis pump that was on his dick to see if that was enough. So she'll just do creative things. And it really made me think about, like, how much experimentation and playfulness you can infuse into edging. And another thing that I took away from her work is, like, if someone does quote unquote mess up, like, as you said, sometimes that's kind of the fun thing. Like, sometimes that's kind of the point. And my partner and I have a protocol rule in our dynamic when they're in chastity, which is if they have an orgasm accidentally or, like, without permission, they have to pay me a bunch of money. It was $100. And then we decided, they actually asked me if we could raise the stakes. So we changed it to $500 recently.
Nice.
And I don't think it's ever, it might have happened once when it was at $100, but they're generally really good about it. And, you know, stuff like wet dreams is up to my discretion, whether I want to charge for that. But that's been fun because I have a little bit of an incentive if I'm feeling like a bratty dom to push them a little farther than they can take. And I also think, as with many kinks, this is a kink where, for me, like, it's very partner dependent. Like, I have had partners before who didn't like edging, like, found it frustrating in a not fun way again. And my current partner really, really likes it and, like, makes cute frustrated noises and stuff. So, you know, it's much more gratifying for me when the person actually enjoys it or loves to hate it.
Yeah. And I definitely fall into that camp a little bit more, a lot more. Because for me, like, getting off is fun, but I do that for a living, frankly, at this point. Like, orgasms are not hard to come by in my life, but opportunities to sit in just a feeling of desire and of, like, wanting to get off and, like, be, like, it feels silly. I'm like, if I want to just get turned on, I can't sit down and scroll some porn and, like, get myself turned on, because that's just, these are my friends, this is work.
Like, yeah.
At best, sometimes I go to animated porn and stuff, but, like, there is a lot of stuff around sex that is just, I don't know, tied up in work and in my day to day. So it's hard to find inspiration for just, like, getting turned on and sitting in this feeling of want and sitting in this feeling of, like, desire and not getting a thing. And I also, like, I don't have the self-control. Like, yes, it is possible to do, like, solo edging scenes or, like, set yourself goals and things. I do not have that self-control. For me, it is, has to be a collaborative thing with someone. And there is that, it's really hot to me knowing that someone else is getting off on my denial. That, like, someone else knows that I'm just sitting around at the desperate, horny little thing. And is, like, thinking about it occasionally and is, like, delighted by that. Like, oh, that's cute. He's dealing with that over there, right? But, like, maybe it's the exhibitionism talking, but just, like, having that need witnessed is also, like, particularly hot. And knowing that someone is enjoying it and finding it interesting. And for some of that might come from, like I said, I've been in relationships where there were, like, disparities in desire. And I, like, already felt like the desperate, needy, constantly horny little thing, but except it wasn't hot there, though, and no one was making fun of me for it in a horny way, and that's considerably less fun.
Yeah, so, that makes a lot of sense. I relate to that piece about kind of the accountability of, like, someone else watching. It's actually making me think about, this is a silly metaphor, which is, I've been doing Nuzlocke runs on Pokemon games lately, and one of the rules of Nuzlocke runs is if a Pokemon faints, it is dead, so you don't use it anymore. And every single time that I've tried to do one of these, when this has happened, I've been like, but I don't actually have to kill it, right? Like, that's, I don't think that there's any like real point in doing that. Whereas like if I was, you know, a Twitch streamer and I was doing it in front of a bunch of people, like I would definitely want to actually kill them because right. there's people watching and it's just more fun to follow the rules. I'm a pervert.
Yeah, no. And the stakes feel higher when like someone else is watching and I'm less inclined to rationalize things or just try to be like, yeah, might as well or whatever. And like, I mean, even broadly, but even just like in the moment, if I have like a magic wand on my dick and I am at that point where I'm like, oh, I think I'm about to come. I shouldn't stop. Who's going to know if I stop? Why should I stop? I'm at the point where I'm just about to come. Why would I stop? That's not what we do here.
Yeah.
And like in that exact moment, edging is not hot to me. Coming is hot to me because I'm at the point where I'm about to come.
Right.
So I need to know that someone somewhere is finding the edging hot, and that person's hard-on is more important to me in that moment, apparently, mm-hmm. because I'm a subby little thing. so, like, I think it's particularly that moment, too, where I need that little bit of, like, external accountability, because that guy had no self-control, none at all. So you mentioned that a lot of your experience with this is also in playing with your partner and very partner dependent. Your partner really enjoys this. Your spouse gave us a lot of questions for this, which I super appreciated. But this next one is from them. And it required a Google search on my part. But they asked, what's the difference between edging and gooning? And how do you incorporate elements of the latter into play?
This is another one of those things, like when we talk about free use versus consensual non-consent, where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, the youths have put a different name on something we were already talking about. And maybe that's only my perception. Maybe I just wasn't involved in the gooning community, the cum-goonity. but I actually had to Google gooning, too, a while ago because I was doing a ghostwriting project for a hypnodom.
Mm-hmm.
And her audience is really into, among other things, gooning. And she had requested that I write some scripts that were based around that idea. And my understanding of it, correct me if I'm wrong, but gooning is sort of like edging to someone for a long period of time, but in a way that's also kind of simping, like obsessing over this one person in a almost like worshipful way, where you're just like staring at them and like obsessed with them for this period of time while you're edging yourself. Is that sort of?
I think it can be. Gooning has been fairly trendy in porn stuff recently, I think too. But based on my like brief Googling and the ways that I have seen it used on porn Twitter, my understanding of it is that it is edging with kind of a hypno lens on it. Mm-hmm. So
like being mesmerized by the edging process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like really long-term edging, with, and like mesmerized, but also, elements of mindlessness and brainwashing and himbo bimbo, dumb little sex toy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen a lot of people referring to gooning setups having lots of porn on multiple screens playing, right? Mm-hmm. Or I've seen videos marketed as gooning videos that have a lot of video effects with, like, swirls or different things happening on the screen at once or, mm-hmm. like, even techie glitchy things, right? I think it is, while edging can often be with a goal of, like, desperation and a number of other things, it is, like, I don't remember hearing it talked about in relation to this, you know, mindless sex toy kind of thing.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of fetishizing the almost altered or intoxicated state you can get into with edging mm-hmm. for a long time, which mm-hmm. I do think is part of the appeal for some people. Like, not only that many people report having a stronger orgasm if they edge, but also that you get into a neurochemical state where there's just like all these nice hormones flooding through your body. And I can understand wanting to sort of linger in that space for a while. It's not something mm-hmm. that I really do all that often on my own, but like I can understand wanting to just hang out in that space.
Yeah, I like definitely eroticize the like totally come drunk mindless kind of place. I can't stay there super long, but I like getting there through like scenes or fucking or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like I find the idea of it really, really hot. But I also like just for edging, like I've also become more into the mindless thing over time, whereas edging I've like, and denial I've kind of always been into. I am also curious how much of us are like just stressed and burned out and exhausted and like all of this himbo, bimbo, gooning, like, mm-hmm. we are really, really eroticizing head-empty fucktoys these days, and being head-empty fucktoys these days, mm-hmm. and, like, that makes sense to me looking around. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems like a relaxing energy for a lot of us.
Yeah, I read this, I read a stat in the book Laziness Does Not Exist, which said, I'm probably misquoting this, but it was something like, compared to people like 200-ish years ago, we take in 5 times as much information every day now.
That would not surprise me at all, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. And I think that it makes total sense when you're overstimulated with not only stuff from your own life, but stuff from the world that you can't really do anything about. Just a constant scroll on your Twitter feed mm-hmm. makes total sense to want to shut that off. And I was also thinking, I think a lot of us have so many inhibitions in our day-to-day life, mm-hmm. and this sort of gooning, edging state can be a very disinhibited state. Like, it's one of the only states where I will, like, beg for what I want and, like, be seriously, genuinely begging. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us really appreciate disinhibition. I mean, this is why substances are so often used, but there are other ways to achieve that state.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really enjoy the, like, vulnerability that comes with a certain degree of desperation with edging. Mm-hmm. Like, there is... So, like, I like the feeling of if I am edging periodically over, like, a long period of time, if we're not talking about, like, you know, locked in a room, getting into this mindless fantasy goon, whatever. We're talking more like, oh, I am being denied for a week or a couple of weeks at a time or something like that, right? That is, like, I get just kind of the background hum of being turned on, and that often puts me in a better mood. Sometimes it makes me a little irritable, but often it makes me just feel hot and confident and, like, kind of horny all day. Like, it's just, it, like,
yeah.
It keeps sex in the back of my mind, which is fun and makes everything a little bit more interesting. And also I wind up in these places where I am like, when I am actively edging or like talking to any of the person or people who know how particularly needy I am or whatever we're playing, I get like, there is this heightened vulnerability and there is this excuse for it almost, because like, in the same way with intoxicants where it's like, no, we built this situation where like you are particularly needy or whatever. And yeah, I feel so much more comfortable letting things kind of fall out of my face. And as a person who really eroticizes the like forced confessional flavor of power exchange, the like, I'm going to make you sit in front of me and tell me the last 3 things you've jerked off to. I want you to tell me all of these fantasies you have, right? Like, mm-hmm. I get off on sharing those things, and I also get off on being forced to share those things. So like, this creates a little pocket of vulnerability that creates a ton of space for that and a really great like script for that in a way that I find really, really hot. Yeah, I should sum this up and end it with a question or whatever, because this is my episode, but now I'm just thinking about edging. All right. Let's talk about how Eddie, another wonderful question from your spouse. Love them. They did all the work for me this episode. I'm just here being horny. How does
edging, truly a blessing.
Truly, truly. How does edging differ when done in person versus like remotely at the same time versus asynchronously? So like protocols and things like that.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this depends on how a person expresses their sexual excitement. And my spouse, who asked this question, is a person who makes sounds when stuff is being done to them, which I enjoy very much, but is also very useful when you're in a long-distance relationship because I pretty much know the same as when we're in person, when we're on the phone, like how close they are to coming. Like their sounds are that recognizable to me at this point. And I could imagine that with somebody who made far less noise or almost no noise at all, it would be very, very difficult for me to track that. But we do a lot of edging long distance with Lovenz toys, which I adore for this purpose, because compared to a lot of lower quality or less well-designed remote control toys, they're very responsive in an almost immediate way to whatever you're doing on the touch screen that you're controlling it on. So there's almost no delay between like I raise the vibration level and I hear them moan in my ear as a response to that. And that makes it very much easier for me to edge them from afar, almost as if I was there doing it with my hand and could feel all of those like sensory cues and see, you know, their face and all of that stuff. Did that answer the question?
Yes. Do you have thoughts on asynchronously though?
I think that you do have to kind of change the way you're doing it when you're doing it asynchronously. And for me and my partner, often this is like, I want you to edge yourself X number of times, meaning like get yourself very close to orgasm and then back off. Veronica refers to them as edges, 10 edges or however many. And because that's like, they can do that in their own time. They can do that between work tasks if need be or whatever. And they know exactly, you know, how much that should be. Voice memos and that kind of thing, or videos even, are also really great for if you have to be asynchronous with this kind of play. Show the different times that you're edging yourself, especially if the person really eroticizes the sight or sounds, et cetera, of you being edged. And you could also have a thing where, like, they have to journal about or, like, make some kind of note about, like, what they were thinking about each time that they edged or what they were watching or like what it felt like or something like that. That might make you feel more like you were there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I actually quite like doing this asynchronously for different reasons. Like, so I find this like asynchronous process is way better suited for if I'm trying to just kind of have this feeling throughout the day. Right. I like the idea of just like, yes, and also on my to-do list next to pay this bill and, you know, record this podcast and send those emails is edge four times and record a video about something, right? Like, that's fun and hot and has that like, ah, my regular day has just become a little bit more interesting because it just has this like subtle thread of horny, sexy things running through it that I'm really excited about. And then, like, you get the responses just, like, peppered throughout also as, like, little surprises throughout the day of, like, oh, right, that thing. Ha, that's fun. And it adds to that, like, randomness and the surprise and the, like, interwoven throughout the rest of my normal life in a way that makes it, yeah, a little taboo and a little horny and a little fun and all of that. Whereas with something more synchronous, something more synchronous feels more condensed just because of practicality, right? Because like that, we're not going to be in the same place for a week, 2 weeks of edging, right? Keep me locked in a dungeon somewhere or something. That's a whole, anyway, just gonna put a pin in that over there. I'm like, I could be done. No, okay. Nope. Back to reality here, where I'm probably not going to have like a in-person long, like weeks long edging scene, right? So the in-person or at least synchronous scenes feel so much more condensed because we're trying to take a lot of that energy and pack it into this hour or two that we're playing, or maybe three, four, if we're like doing a long-term thing. And it also feels more intense in that the person is more likely to have more control over the actual stimulation I'm getting, whether it is them telling me to turn the toy up, turn the toy down, move it, whether they have a remote thing, or whether they are there holding it and pulling it away. Like, it feels slightly more on hard mode because there is, like, it's not me alone in my room reporting back that that was definitely an edge. That seemed close to coming, right? It's someone looking at me and going, you could have pushed that closer. Excuse you. Right? So, like, versus other things being like, ah, that was, yeah, there you go. I saw it. That was close. There you go. Right? So it feels more intense and more challenging and more overwhelming and overstimming and frenetic is like the energy. I'm like I have the energy in my head and I'm trying to find the words to describe it versus and like my shoulders are up, like I'm so much more tense describing this one versus like the long term one where I like relax into it. I'm like, nah, that's just. Ah, that's just in a state of longing for forever, which is challenging, but like in a less high intensity way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's making me think about how one of the reasons I prefer to edge myself for someone rather than be edged by someone in many cases is that I'm in my own brain, I just have a better sense of when I'm getting close. And if someone else is paying attention to my reactions, even if they know me pretty well, I mean, that moment of like, oh shit, I'm going to come can be like a split second. And if you are a second or two late on removing the stimulation or whatever, it can result in an orgasm or a ruined orgasm or what have you. And I just have typically, I mean, as we were describing earlier, as I was saying earlier, like I'm not always great at knowing when I'm going to come, but like I probably have a better sense of that than whoever I'm with.
Yeah.
And so if their goal, if their desire is for me to get close to the edge and not come, like I'm probably going to do a better job with that than most of my partners who I've had.
That's fair. I also have a better sense of that, but I trust myself considerably less. So I like even with them in front of me, I like, if it's in my own hand, I think I am more likely to either not push it far enough or ruin my own orgasm versus it being in someone else's hand.
Interesting.
Yeah. Although I may be overestimating how obvious it is when I'm about to come. I don't know. So I've been up here talking like real confidently about weeks of edging, which is, once again, real confident of me, but I am curious if you could talk a little bit about what you've noticed in terms of, like, experiences over the different lengths of denial and edging, like shorter-term play versus longer-term stints of denial, presumably in your spouse mostly, though I suppose in yourself.
Yeah, the thing about me doing this is I just get more frustrated and annoyed. Like, there is a certain point where, like, the fun, hot part just fades, and I'm just like, fuck, this sucks. Like, I'm just over it, and I just get grumpy and distracted and can't do my work or do anything else. But I have definitely noticed some very interesting things in my spouse when we do chastity for longer periods of time. I think the longest we've done it was like maybe a month, but there were times within that month when I unlocked them and got them off with something, so I'm not really sure what the actual longest period of denial was. But like the main thing that we always notice is that there's a point at which their like romantic feelings just ramp up dramatically, and they're feeling like they're in NRE again with their wife, which is really cute and wholesome. But also, I think that there's like a general heightening of emotion, it seems like. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what to attribute that to, but it's just, I definitely do notice that. And of course, you get a heightening of sensitivity. Of course, you typically get, it's easier for them to come eventually when you want to do that. Mm-hmm. I, interestingly, when I was younger, didn't like to edge when I would masturbate because I always found it actually made my orgasms weaker. Mm. And this was in total opposition to everything I had ever read about edging. Everyone says they get more intense the more that you edge. And I always found they would just end up being like these super small, shitty orgasms, mm-hmm. as opposed to like if I just rushed into an orgasm, like the first time that I felt one on the horizon, it would always be more intense. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of flipped around, I don't know, age 25 to 30, somewhere in there. It just really switched all the way around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the point that now if I'm on the phone with my partner and I feel like I'm taking too long to come, they'll be like, no, I like it because you're going to come harder when you do, mm-hmm. which is a very nice and hot way of reassuring me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, how that shit changes.
Yeah, I think I have definitely had times where edging has made me come like really, really hard by the time I finally do. And I have had other times where like it has either ended in ruined orgasms or just like, oh yeah, I mean, that was an orgasm, I suppose. Yeah, I came. Yeah. But much of what I come to it for is that feeling of desperation and wanting and neediness and all of that that comes beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I definitely do have, like, you're talking about how you're like, no, I just get frustrated. And I'm like, no, I do also get frustrated is the thing. Like, I do sometimes get a little grumpy about it is the thing, or a little frustrated about it. But I think, you know, I'm kind of parsing this out as I'm talking about it, but I think it almost certainly pings the suffering feelings that I have and the wanting to, like, endure a thing that is difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And to be challenged in that way. And I kind of dip back in and out of the, like, irritability because I'm horny or whatever. Like, it'll happen sometimes, but I also predominantly will spend the time with, like, I'm a little bit horny all day, but the, like, good mood feeling that comes with that I'm mm-hmm. keep struggling with trying to articulate, I don't know, the feeling of, like, just that you have a date later or something, or that, like, you just, mm. or, like, I don't know. There is just that little bit of extra flirty, sexy energy weaving throughout everything that you're doing that, like, is often fun for me. And then, like, if we're talking about more, like, focused edging scenes or more concentrated things, those moments of, like, that would in a longer term scene probably look like a little bit of grumpy irritability that I just fucking need to get off for the love of God. in shorter term edging scenes will sometimes feel like, I don't know, my desperation kind of, and like hope of ever coming kind of falls off a cliff. Of just like, oh no, I'm just here forever. I'm just
abandon all hope.
Yeah, exactly. And it will, like, I will feel, again, I'm like putting myself in the moment and like feeling a shadow of the feeling and trying to articulate it, which is making it hard to do. But like this feeling of like all of the endorphins just kind of plummet for a second, and I'm just in the like, oh no, it's never gonna happen. And I feel like the most pathetic, small, broken little thing, mm-hmm. which is kind of hot, which means it's not never gonna happen, certainly at that point. And by then I'm often able to bring myself back out. But those moments, I think in both instances, actually, are moments where, like, being reminded that that desperation and being a pathetic little thing is like the goal here. This is what we're going for. This is hot. This is fun for them. Mm-hmm. Will kind of bring me back around to like climbing back out of that hole. Cause I think, I don't know, maybe this is that emotionality that you're talking about where like, I'm kind of doing like big waves with my hand that no one can see because this is an audio medium. but I do have that kind of like roller coaster up and down of like,
yeah,
no, this will feel good for a while and it can fall off a cliff for a second, but no, I'm back and it feels really good for a while. Which frankly is probably just a result of all of the chemicals running through this meat suit that we live in because we're kind of fucking with those when we're playing with this.
Yeah, I think that it's worth knowing that, in my experience at least, and I've talked to some experts who say this as well, like those neurochemicals do come in waves. And so there are going to be periods where it seems like you're just like not feeling them at all anymore for a while, which is why sometimes people talk about with pain play or in particular spanking that, you know, you could have the endorphins going for a bit and everything's feeling good and not all that painful. And then suddenly everything starts feeling super painful again. Like I experienced this once with nipple clamps, which was the most striking example of it to me because I did not adjust the tightness of the clamps at all. I changed nothing and very suddenly they started hurting like 80% more. And I was like, oh wow, it must be the endorphins falling off, but it's just wild that that's how it works.
Yeah, no, that makes sense because I've definitely experienced it emotionally in like the sensations of what is happening hasn't changed to me, but the way that I feel about them has like flipped like a light switch occasionally. And usually I like it swings back around because again, those endorphins like reload essentially. My body produces more. But the most physical version of that that I ever felt was when I got my nipples pierced and they did one and took a second and then did the other. They didn't set them both up at the same time. And when they did the second one, it hurt a hell of a lot more than the first one. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, you don't have the endorphins anymore because you ran out. I was like, right, no, that makes sense. But that is the most visceral difference where I was like, no, you just did that and it was fine. It didn't hurt at all. It felt fucking weird. Didn't hurt, though. And then the second one fucking hurt.
Yeah, I've had that with tattoos, too, where you're, like, fine for a good 30, 40 minutes, and then suddenly it's just like, oh, my God, please stop.
Like, you know what? That area is shaded enough. We're done now. It's fine. Love that color. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So we also got a couple of questions from folks essentially about getting better at this and practicing, both as the top edging someone and as the bottom trying to edge. How do you get better at that?
I think as a top, it's all about paying attention to your partner. And I think learning particular people is helpful with this. I don't know that there's advice that would be helpful in learning how to edge just anybody because people are very, very different in the way that they respond to things. But if you can notice particular changes, whether they be noises or places where the muscles are getting more tense at certain times, then that can be helpful. I could even see like having videos that you make together and like studying those videos like a football coach. Like, and there's when that happened, you know, I think that that could be interesting to learn. And of course, like there's always going to be variants depending on, you know, where they are at in their hormonal cycle potentially or a number of different other factors. But, you know, you could learn some general trends that way.
Yeah, I would actually take that and go a little bit like build on that a little bit more and say this like seems like a great opportunity to if your person can talk a lot, create some kind of scene or several scenes where they are talking you through how close they are to coming throughout the scene and like build this kind of communication into the games that you're playing. Because yeah, I agree. You're only going to learn how to get better at edging a particular person. You're not going to get better at being an edging top. but I think the best way to get better at edging a particular person is opening up the lines of communication from inside their head to inside yours as best as you can, essentially, because you need to know what's going on in there to be able to edge them as close as you want to be or for as long as you want to. So whether that is some sort of scene where they are like literally talk in as much detail for as much as you can about what you are feeling, just monologue as I'm doing things to you. I'm going to stop every time you stop talking. So you're going to have to come up with something to say, right? Whether it is filming them and having them talk about it afterwards, whether it is giving them a 1 to 10 scale and just how close are you to coming with 10 being orgasm, give me a number every time I ask for it, or give me a number, you know, every 2 minutes or whatever. They're not going to know 2 minutes. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think like, or having them write, you wrote a user manual, right? Having a whole section on what does my body do right before I come? What does it feel like? What does it look like? Jerk off as many times as you need to for research for that, but write me 2 pages on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love these kinds of forced confessional things for she to tell me about myself, but I think this is a really, really great opportunity for that.
Yeah, and also if someone struggles to verbalize while they're being edged, you could do some kind of hand signal.
Mm-hmm.
One of my struggles with being edged is if I stop to talk, like I can't really do that and still continue the build of arousal. I know some mm-hmm. people can do that, but if I stop to talk, it's as if I've stopped the stimulation generally. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but that's just how it is. And so like if I'm having to ask for permission to come every time I get close, like by the time I get that question out, I'm not close anymore. So it's like a little bit distracting and derailing for me. But something like tapping someone's arm 3 times would be totally doable for me.
Yeah. Or even holding up the number of fingers based on how close you are, right? On a scale of 1 to 5 or something like that. I know a lot of people have that similar experience, and I fucking, you may have noticed my long-winded ass, that will turn me on more to start talking about a thing and to be externalizing the thing that the running monologue that is already probably happening in my head, I promise. So for me, something like that works really well, but obviously your mileage may vary. What about as the person edging?
I think really the best thing you can do is just do a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because you will get to know the signals, both internally that you're feeling as well as maybe externally observable signals that mean that you're getting close. And if you ruin a few orgasms along the way, like that's just, you've learned more about how to either do that or not do that, depending on what you're going for. And if you struggle with self-control, as you've mentioned, which I also occasionally do, a trick that I use for this that works for me is I will go through and pick a bunch of porn clips and open them in different tabs. Mm. And I will pick ones that I'm sufficiently excited about that I'll want to get to them so that I won't like come during the first scene out of 4, typically. I mean, once in a while I do definitely do that. But for me, that's motivating enough. But you could look for whatever might motivate you, whether it's having to report to a partner about it or, I don't know, earning some kind of treat or something.
I have definitely done that with porn clips, though, or with like things I am curious to see, where curiosity will keep me going generally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Your homework is to come a lot if you want to get better at this and edge a lot. But like also specifically come a lot is the thing, because to know how to stop yourself as close to before coming as possible without coming, right? We edge with Price is Right rules, right? So if you like, if the goal there is to get as close as you can without going over, then you need to know what going over feels like.
Right.
Or you're not going to know if you've gotten as close as you can, right? So it's going to entail some ruined orgasms, and it's going to entail probably some decent orgasms in there too. So you can get like fully acquainted with that point of no return, rather than just stopping at the first glimmer of an orgasm, which is sometimes mm-hmm. what it looks like when I try and do this solo.
It's also worth noting that trying to edge using a stimulation that's very consistent, like a vibrator, is kind of a different thing mm-hmm. than trying to edge with a more inconsistent stimulation, like the touch of a human being. Mm. I can much more easily edge myself and be edged if it's a consistent thing like a vibrator, because I know like exactly at what pace I'm progressing toward orgasm, especially as I get closer. Mm-hmm. And when it's more inconsistent, when something might speed up or slow down or stop or start at any time, like I find it much more difficult to predict when I'm actually going to come.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you want to start with something more consistent and like work towards something more inconsistent so that you can do that as well, because that's kind of a slightly different skill set.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I hadn't even really thought about that. Huh.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. I was going to say something like, well, we've edged you long enough and now it's fine for the end of the episode. And then I was like, that doesn't make sense. The end of the episode is not the orgasm of the episode.
Tis not. Although we did just talk, like, probably off air, edited out before this, about maybe doing a part two. So this is the part where we, like, edge them about next week and tell them there's, like, more to come. But you naughty little things have to wait for it. Mm. Yeah. See? Look at me.
Yep.
I'm sexy for a living.
You're great at your job.
Professional.
I've been Kate Sloan. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I have a couple books. I think edging is one of the kinks and 101 kinky things even you can do. I'm pretty sure.
It's a kinky thing even I could do.
Yeah. Orgasm control is definitely in there. There's a lot of stuff in there that you might find useful, so check that out at your local bookstore. My other book is called 200 Words to Help You Talk About Sexuality and Gender. Edging is not in that book, I don't think. I don't know. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice, and you can check out my music on YouTube. My latest song was called Take the Leap, and it was based on a conversation I had with my therapist. Where is your stuff?
I'm Billy Lore. You can find all my porn and information about my workshops over at billylore.com. I should be posting some new workshops up in the next couple of weeks, and I have a ton of really exciting stuff coming out on my OnlyFans and assorted other porn sites in the next month or two. So go ahead and head over there to check all of that out. I'm also at Billy Lore on Twitter and at Billy Lore _ on Instagram and the TikTok app now, because I have to use that like a grown up. because it's supposed to be good for my career or something. I really don't want to. I really don't like it.
I don't like it either. I'm very stubborn about it. I don't want to let TikTok win.
I really don't. But there's money there. I hate it. Together with the Dildorks, we're on Twitter and Instagram at the Dildorks, and we're at thedildorks.com. We're also over at patreon.com/thedildorks. That's where you go to throw money at us to help us keep doing this thing that we do, and also, you know, feeding ourselves. It's a good time. For $6 a month, you get access to our Discord, and for $12 a month, you get access to our exclusive bonus episodes.
We love our top-tier Patreon supporters, Argo, Amy, Nat, Amelia, MB, and Stabitha Christie. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you also to Protodome, who did our theme song. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
I was watching this YouTuber I've been really into lately who does Pokemon challenges. I mean, I watch a lot of these mm-hmm. people, but there's one in particular who I've been really into lately because he's out as bi.
Nice. Which,
of course, I like him more than the others. And there was some element of the challenge where he said in the video, like, you might think that I'm a sadist for setting it up this way. and you would not be the first person to think that I'm a sadist. And I was like, oh no.
And you're like, and go on.
Too. I'm not well.
Like, I need to know so much more immediately.
Yes. Details, please.
Yes.
My new doctor today, very tall, very handsome new doctor, asked me if I smoke. And I was like, well, I smoke weed. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, I always have to ask, are you doing any cocaine? Are you doing any MDMA? That kind of thing. And I was like, just shrooms on occasion. That's all. Mm-hmm. This is how handsome this man was, that I admitted to doing an illegal drug in his presence.
No big deal. You're like, just, you know, it's fine. Did he handle it well, at least?
He did. There was, like, almost no reaction.
Yeah. Definitely, probably, whatever. We're just going to, it's fine. My brain works. It's fine.